You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
LaVine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Samson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 Show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShivels, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Cubs have a lot of decisions to make this offseason, as well as the Bears are 3-1 on their bye. So check out Locked On Bears and Locked On Cubs for all your information on both of those other Chicago teams. They have done a great job all season. Cubs just wrapping up their season a little bit short than they probably thought. And the Bears on a roll, 3-1, heading into the bye week this weekend. Get things started up again next weekend. But subscribe to their show. Go listen to them, Lauren Cox, Sean Sears, and Ryan Davis, doing great jobs for Locked On Cubs and Locked On Bears. Our text voicemail line is 331-979-1369. Hit us up with all of your reaction. I know last night's game did not go the way we all anticipated it coming off of Sunday's win, and we'll get into that in full today. But if you got reaction, anything you want to get off your chest after watching last night's game, we're here for you. 331-979-1369. Text and voicemails there. Well, Jordan Malley here with you guys again. Matt Peck is out today. Hopefully be back tomorrow. And then we'll be regular schedule again next week. Matt's just moved into a new place, trying to get internet, and he can't get internet until Sunday. So we're trying to work some things out, but for the most part, everything will be regular, back to normal scheduling. 5 days a week, Matt and I both here next week. But for now, let's talk about last night. What in the hell happened last night? From the minute the ball tipped off to the end of the game, the Bulls clearly had nothing. I don't know if they completely forgot what they did on Sunday that made them effective against the Pelicans, or they just decided to do one of these, it's me ball today, and I'm going to get my shots up and play no defense. Because that's basically what I saw. Going back, and we'll dive into some of the deeper stats, but just looking at what the Bulls did in the first two quarters, first half of the game, Milwaukee put up 63 points on the Bulls in the first half, and the Bulls were able to respond a little bit after going down by as much as 13 in the first quarter. When their second unit came in, Bobby Portis gave him a little bit of a relief in scoring some buckets, but him outside of maybe Wendell Carter Jr., nobody else could put the ball in the damn basket last night. And I think this is a problem that the Bulls are going to suffer from a lot this season. You're going to see a lot of teams that the Bulls are going to be matched up against that are more athletic than the Bulls are, have more length than they do, have more consistent three-point shooting than they do. And when you go down the floor like the Bulls did in the first two quarters of the game, and you're chucking up shots with 4 or 5 seconds off the shot clock, like you're going to find yourself down a dozen, maybe two dozen points before the half's even over. And the Bulls in this situation did sort of the same. I thought the one main concern that I had outside of individual players as a team, the Bulls didn't pass the ball worth a damn last night. It seemed like nobody could get open. Nobody was moving on the offensive end of the ball. And Chris Dunn and Cameron Payne both struggled to find guys that were open and getting guys effective shots. Those two things are going to play main factors, and you're going to see nights like this, and you're going to see nights like Sunday night where we saw the Bulls pull out a 128-116 lead over the Pelicans. But the more troubling thing is I went back and rewatched this game again and just watching kind of what the Bulls were doing on defense, how they were transitioning well. The one good thing that I'll start with, and there's a lot of negatives coming after this, one good thing that I will start with, when the Bulls did get in transition, they were scoring buckets at ease. They were getting the Bucks off and running, unadjusted on defense. It was when they were trying to slow things down, trying to go towards more of a half-court offense, that you saw a lot of the struggles. Like, the guys were just passing the ball around the three-point line, and soon enough, you see 6 seconds left on the shot clock. Guys are forcing up shots, and the Bucks ended up with 7 blocks last night. And to be quite honest with you, I thought it was more than that. But yeah, 7 blocks from the Milwaukee Bucks last night. And when you got athletic guys ranging from the 2 to the 5, even Brook Lopez showing that he can stretch things out, makes it difficult for the Bulls and their size and their athleticism to kind of match up with that. And if you go back and you watch the first and the second quarter, you see a lot of times that the Bulls would make a bucket and almost immediately the Bucks were already running it halfway up the court, and the Bulls just couldn't catch up. It's like the Fred Hoiberg wants to play this fast-paced offensive game and run the both sides of the floor. The Bulls didn't do that last night. The Bulls were caught in a lot of times where they were giving up easy transition buckets, and when they weren't doing that, their perimeter defense was completely missing. Like, I have 4 screenshots out on Twitter right now. That's just from the first quarter of the Bulls perimeter defense, where you see 3, 4, almost all 5 guys collapsing to the basket, leaving 3 or 4 shooters on the Bucks who can knock down the 3 at a consistent rate wide open. So that's going to be a focus too this season. And you know, some of those fans, and I was one of them, praising the Bulls for the last couple of days for watching that Bulls team, and everything seemed to click. Everybody was eating on the offensive end. People were actually trying on defense. While the Pelicans aren't as long and athletic as the Bucks are, and they also don't have Giannis, seeing teams that are troubling for the Bulls this season are going to be teams that are built like the Bucks. And there's more teams built like the Bucks that, you know, 2 through 5, you could basically interchange on the defensive end. All those guys can knock down shots at a high clip. You're going to see more teams like that than you will of the Pelicans, where they're more traditional. They've got shooters. They've got Etwan Moore. They've got Jrue Holiday. But you're going to more traditional basketball in the sense that Randall and Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday are going to be your main scorers. And also, too, the Pelicans don't have much of a bench. So, looking at that, you see a lot of the Bucks stretching things out. And I found myself watching Chris Dunn struggled because he seemed to like want to help everybody on the floor last night. Whether it was switching off and him and Lopez would switch with a mismatch and Lopez got burned. I can't even tell you how many times in the first 2 quarters that he played. And that led me to another conclusion here. Is as bad as the Bulls shot last night, Jabari Parker 1 for 12, Robin Lopez 1 for 5, Zach LaVine 3 for 10, Justin Holiday 2 for 10. You've got Chandler Hutchinson 1 for 9. That's not going to get it done. When you're not putting the ball in the basket, you're going to find yourself down like the Bulls did big. And not even a lot of the second half has even expired yet. I think the Bulls went in the last 6 minutes of the third quarter almost down 30. Like, that shouldn't happen, especially when you're playing the guys that are supposed to start in night in and night out. The one conclusion that I can make after watching Robin Lopez last night against his brother Brooke and some other athletic front court guys, where you saw Giannis playing the power forward position up against Jabari Parker, like, I think Robin Lopez can be a good veteran asset for the Bulls this season. After watching last night, though, I don't see how there's any way Fred Hoiberg can argue for allowing Robin Lopez to play with the starters. I get it. Maybe you want to break up Chris Dunn and Wendell Carter Jr., who are supposed to be your 2 best defenders, and break that up so you have at least something coming off the second unit. But Robin Lopez can't do anything guarding the perimeter. He sags off, kind of plugs the paint. And then when you guys got guys stretching it out like Ersan Ilyasova last night, and you have Brook Lopez being able to do that, I mean, there's no match. Robin Lopez was getting beat every time. And when guys were coming to the rack, too, they were beating him. So he might be a nice piece, might be a nice mentor for Wendell Carter Jr. and help him grow in the first year. But there's got to be a lot of argument, especially what Fred Hoiberg's seeing on the film, that says you've got to plug Wendell Carter Jr. in there and allow him to start. And I don't know if Fred Hoiberg's going to make that decision after the first handful of games coming in, if he's going to stick with Robin Lopez or not. But just after two games, the film tells you it all, that at least Wendell Carter Jr., when you switch off of guys, he's got the ability to at least get out there and guard. He's got the athleticism enough to move out to the perimeter and not just leave guys wide open. And you're going to see that early on with this Bulls team going up against a lot of really athletic, really versatile centers. I mean, the first game of the night is up against Joel Embiid. And if Robin Lopez is stuck out there in the first two quarters having to guard him, I'm not sure that the Bulls will be able to stop him. At least with Wendell Carter Jr., you've got a chance. He's got athleticism, he's got length, and he's a good shot blocker around the rim. Look, Robin Lopez can rebound for you. He showed that last night. He was the only guy that was chasing down rebounds in the beginning of the first half. That's all fine and good, but when you can't score and you leave guys open wide open at the perimeter, it just breaks your entire defense down. So I think that's the conclusion that I've come to terms with, is the fact that whether or not you think Wendell Carter Jr. is ready, anything, and I mean anything, is better than letting Robin Lopez play alongside Jabari Parker. And this partially goes on to Jabari Parker. And let's talk about his game for a second. 1 for 12 from the field, a minus 26 in the plus minus, 2 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. He looked completely disinterested in playing defense last night. I don't know if any of you tuned it out after the first quarter or not. Completely disinterested. There's 3 consecutive plays where Jabari Parker was the main part of that play, and the Bulls gave up points and lost points. Jabari Parker taking a wide open three and bricking it. The Bucks come down and try to get a transition bucket. Great steal by Jabari Parker. He tries to run it one-on-one against Brook Lopez, completely misses the layup. They turn it around, get it back on the Bucks side, and then Jabari Parker is seen wandering. There's a guy wide open in the corner. Knocks down the three. Sure enough, Jabari Parker's the only guy not on a man. And not to just blame him either, because like I said before, every one of the Bulls players seemed to be collapsing towards the basket last night when you've got guys like Malcolm Brogdon and Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton, who are all 35% and above three-point shooters, and that's what's going to play in the Bucks' favor this year. So I don't understand it. Like, if the Bulls aren't going to be able to play perimeter defense this year, then they're going to be giving up 116, 130, 140 points a night. Like, that just can't happen. And the Bucks aren't even the best three-point shooting team out there. On top of all of that, it's fine if you're giving up those shots. If you're giving up this many points, Bulls gave up 116 in the first game, gave up 116 in the second. This is a tale of two Bulls teams, though, and this is what we're going to see the entire season. You're going to see nights where the Bulls are going to come out and score nearly 130 points. Without Lauri Markkanen and without Denzel Valentine, this could shift things a little bit. But still, you're going to see nights where literally nothing's going in. And that's exactly what happened on Wednesday night. And the Bulls were getting out to a deficit that they couldn't ultimately overcome. And you see that in the second quarter. They made little to no adjustments in the third, had nobody scoring the basket, and only scored 14 points in the third quarter. And that ultimately ended in a 116-82 loss. We got to take a short break here. When I come back, I'm going to break down some of these players and the Bulls, kind of what they did, their statistics, and what it looked like, and ultimately just a few other things that I grabbed from this game. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be right back. Back here on Locked On Bulls, 331-979-1369 is where you hit us up. Text messages and voicemails there. So I brought up on yesterday's episode the Bulls' offense and defensive rating in their first game, which was great. 111.4 offensive rating and a defensive rating of 100.6, giving them a net rating of 10.9. Last night on the road, their offensive rating at a 79.4. I didn't even imagine that you could get that low. especially with guys like Zach LaVine, Jabari Parker, and Chris Dunn, and Bobby Portis on this team that are supposed to be your main reliable scorers. Well, when Zach LaVine goes 3 for 10 and Jabari Parker goes 1 for 12, this is what it's going to look like. So 79.4 on the offensive rating, and they were a 114.2 defensive rating for a net rating last night of negative 34.8. The Bulls are going to have to figure things out and figure it out pretty quickly. And I know Fred Hoiberg was pretty pissed off last night after the game and said they did everything imaginably wrong. Said that they were going to go light today in practice and steady plans to run them hard. Great. This is the same thing that we've heard every single time from Fred Hoiberg every single year. Is when the Bulls play bad, oh, we're going to have a hard practice. We're going to run our guys into the ground. Great. But at some point, that's got to translate to your players on the floor. I get it, and I'm not freaking out at the moment, but the fact that you don't have your best player in there right now and you're going to miss him for 2 months, we're going to see nights like this. Nights where you come off of scoring 128 points, and then you can't even reach 90. And it seems like nobody wants to play defense because nobody's getting buckets. And I think those two are definitely correlated this year. If guys aren't getting buckets, they're not going to be incentivized to play defense. Saw that last night with Jabari Parker. I hate to continue to call him out. And I told you guys that it was somebody that I was rooting for this year. I'm rooting for Jabari Parker to have a good year this year. But to be honest with you, he couldn't run the floor with the Bucks last night. He looked lost on defense and wasn't knocking down his shot. It was a lot of me ball, to be honest with you. Between him, Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, all of these guys playing sort of me ball. And Chandler Hutchison, yeah, he was 1 for 9, but he didn't take most of his shots till the fourth quarter. But talking about the starters in general, Justin Holiday going 2 for 10. Like, I don't know why Justin Holiday is taking 10 shots a game. That should never happen. And if that's what's going to happen in only 17 minutes of play, I don't want to see him anywhere on the floor. 2 for 10 from Justin Holiday, 3 for 10 from Zach LaVine, 1 for 12 from Jabari Parker. None of those guys hitting threes either, except for Justin Holiday's 1 for 8. That's miserable. 1 for 8 from 3. So besides the terrible perimeter defense, seemingly just getting stretched out and run off the floor in Milwaukee last night, let's talk about something else we need to worry about. And I think this is a conversation we didn't think we were going to have this early on. I'm not trying to freak out because it is only preseason, but when you see the Bucks starting unit that only played around 20 minutes a night last night, having a plus 34, plus 39, plus 25, plus 29, plus 12 in the plus minus, and three of those five starting guys all scored in double digits, it's a cause for concern. Like, Giannis only played 22 minutes last night. He had 19 points, 13 rebounds, and 5 assists. Like, that's ridiculous. You got Eric Bledsoe, who had a phenomenal game, and that was part and cause because Chris Dunn was all over the place on defense. He felt like he had to help out and sag off, help out not only Zach LaVine, but Jabari Parker, and also switches on Justin Holiday, who's guarding the three. All of that combined with the fact that Eric Bledsoe was left open a lot last night. He hit 3 for 6 from the three. He had 10 rebounds, which I don't know how Eric Bledsoe gets 10 rebounds, but he did. 10 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal for plus 29 in the plus minus. Just looking at that snapshot, and that's why I'm saying go back and watch the first and the second quarter, because you see the Bulls' young core that's going to be running out there for the starting unit and the second unit, and that's where you get your glimpse into things. I thought when the guys came in for their second unit, though, still had no answer for Ersan Ilyasova off the bench. He had 9 points. He was 3 for 5, 4 rebounds, but that ultimately it comes back to the Bulls' ability to score. The offense is supposed to be electric this year, right? There's going to be inconsistent nights. You're going to get nights like this where the Bulls only score 82 points, nothing's going in. But is there more cause for concern with the fact that the Bulls can't knock down a three for the life of them? 7 for 41 last night, 17.1%. That's a little cause for concern for me. And the fact that you shot only 32.4% from the field, 33 for 102, you're not going to win any games doing that. So is the three-point shot a little bit more concerning? And I think it's the placement of the three-point shot more so than the actual results of this. Because if you dive deeper into what the Bulls did last night, Justin Holiday and Bobby Portis combined for 15 of those three-point shots in the first half, too. Bobby Portis and Justin Holiday had 10 of the 17 first-half three-point shots. Only one went down. Bobby Portis and Justin Holiday should not be taking 8 and 7 threes combined. They should not be leading your teams in three-point attempts. Jabari Parker 0 for 3 again from 3. Been inconsistent from there. He's only knocked down one in these two preseason games. Zach LaVine still looking for his first three-pointer of the year. 0 for 2 last night. You need to find a way to be able to get those guys more three-point attempts and starting to knock down that stroke consistently. If those guys are not going to shoot threes, then I don't know how you're going to continue to keep up in games. You thought Jabari Parker being inserted into this lineup would not only give you the ability to score at the basket, but also outside the perimeter. Same thing with Zach LaVine. 4 or 5 attempts a game should be where Zach LaVine is at the three-point. None of that happened in the first two games. I'm looking at it right now. You got 5 of those 41 shots coming from two starters that should be attempting way more threes than they are. And yes, you are missing Denzel Valentine, who is your most consistent three-point shooter coming off of last year, 38.5%. You're missing Lauri Markkanen, who attempts at least 6 per game like he did last year at a 36, 37% clip. Sure, you're going to be weak at the three-point shot, but some of these other guys got to step up. Got to take another short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, taking a voicemail from one of our listeners who was in attendance last night, has a few words on the game, and so much more. So we'll get to that as we get out of here in our final segment. Stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Back here on Locked On Bulls, you can hit us up 331-979-1369 or on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Right now on Twitter, we have a giveaway going on. All you have to do to be entered to the giveaway, super easy. Log on to Twitter, go to at Locked On Bulls. We have a tweet up right now. We have a handful of autographed 8x10 photos of Bobby Portis, and the photo is awesome. It's against the Cleveland Cavaliers last year. LeBron's in the photo. Lauri Markkanen is the autographed by Bobby Portis from our event last month. We're giving away a handful of those, so go to Twitter. All you have to do is retweet, like, and make sure you're following us on Twitter to automatically be entered to win. We will pull that winner sometime this weekend and announce it on Monday's show, so make sure you get over there to Twitter at Locked On Bulls, retweet, like that, and make sure you're following us there if you want to win an autographed 8x10 of Bobby Portis. So with that, let's take a final voicemail from one of our callers who was in attendance last night up in Milwaukee. Here's David.
Hey, it's David in Madison. I went across to Milwaukee last night for the game, and it wasn't bad, it wasn't terrible, it wasn't ugly, it was sorry. It was such a sorry game. Justin Holiday, sorry. Campaign, sorry. Robin Lopez, sorry. But the sorriest of them all, Jabari Parker. Sorry, sorry performance. I lived in Korea for 4 years, and I used to go see a lot of KBL basketball, and I once went to a game that had 7.5 minutes without a point being scored. I thought that was the sorriest basketball I'd seen in my life until last night, and just sorry, sorry, Jabari Parker. Positives from the game? Probably Wendell Carter being able to switch out onto Bledsoe a couple of times. That one when Bledsoe tried to go baseline, Carter moved over on him. They managed to recover and get over to Giannis after Bledsoe dropped it off. And that was a block, not a foul. He's very unlucky there. If we get to see more of that, real good. Chris Dunn looked all right. Looks like a pro. Not an all-star. Not an all-NBA. Maybe might push an all-defensive team, but looked like a pro. Looked like a point guard who can set up an offense and play a little bit. But man, oh, Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday in that starting lineup. Just sorry. And Jabari, I don't know. Everybody's so divided on Jabari. Some people are going to say he's going to be good. Some people are going to say he's going to be bad. If that's him motivated to do well against his former team, man, that was just sorry. Just a sorry, sorry performance. The most interesting thing about that game last night was probably the Bulls' new arena. If you're going to go up, if you're going to go up to Milwaukee, go catch a game. Nice place to see a basketball game. Just don't go there when the sorry Bulls are in town. I think StubHub has tickets for $10 against the Raptors early in the season. Go up for that. Go see Kawhi. Go see some good players. Go see Giannis. Go enjoy that new arena. Just don't go up there when the sorry, sorry Bulls are in town. Take it easy.
Thanks for the call, David. Yeah, man. I don't know what to do, what to say after last night's performance. Specifically just talking about Robin Lopez and Jabari Parker, it's obvious that front court's not going to work. It's not going to work because Robin Lopez doesn't do anything to help Jabari's lack of defensive presence. It doesn't help when nobody's hustling on the defensive end. And it doesn't help when guys don't know where they need to be in and where they what positions they need to be in on the defensive side of the ball. And you're going to see that like it happened last night. Now, look, I think Jabari's offensive game is going to come around. 1-for-12 isn't normal like he usually does. He started the preseason already 5-for-27. Not great. 5-for-26. Not great. I think that's going to come around eventually. But on the nights that he is scoring, the buckets going down, you're going to see more of an aggressive, an attentive, a more focused Jabari Parker on the defensive end. Nights where the ball's not going in, hate to tell you, he's not going to hustle back. Hate to say it, he's not going to try that extra effort on the offensive or defensive end because the ball's not going in the hole. That's a problem that I think we're going to be able to foresee throughout the entire season. I think things are going to be a little easier when Lauri Markkanen comes back, and it sucks that he's not there right now. But I don't think that the Bulls can run out a front court of Jabari Parker and Robin Lopez for extended period of time. I am with you. I think Wendell Carter Jr. has earned that spot, and we'll see it. Maybe he's got 3 games left and about a week and a half, 2 weeks of practice left before we tip off in Philadelphia. I would be shocked if Fred Hoiberg said, you know what? Even though Wendell Carter Jr. has looked really good in preseason, it done everything we've asked him, we're still going to start Robin Lopez. And I told you guys a couple days ago that I said it didn't matter who started. At this point, I don't know how Robin Lopez can compete against guys in the first unit. So putting Wendell Carter Jr. out there to just learn with some of these guys and be able to at least protect some of Jabari Parker's weaknesses in the defense won't completely overexpose your front court. So maybe it is time to make that transition. And I think Wendell Carter Jr. seems like he's ready and he'll be able to learn quickly. And I think at least it gives the Bulls a shot to close things out. The only thing that I had mentioned before, though, is now you've got Chris Dunn and you've got your Wendell Carter Jr., your two best defenders on the team in the starting unit. And then you leave your bench wide open and exposed. So it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation for the Bulls until Markkanen returns and you can kind of shuffle Robin Lopez out of the mix more so because you can move Bobby to the five. You can do a couple different things, whereas without Markkanen there, you've got to solely rely on Bobby playing the four and having Wendell Carter Jr. play the five and then Robin Lopez and Jabari Parker as well. Because let's be honest, Cristiano Felicio isn't giving you anything more than what Robin Lopez could do for you when you stick him out there. But yeah, man, I thought it was one of the worst performances that I've seen in a long time. Jabari probably knows it better than anybody else does. He knows that he wanted to go in there and make a statement going up to Milwaukee, and maybe that was part of the reason why he didn't play well. Putting too much pressure on himself, thinking that he's got to go out there and score a million points for the Bulls and justify himself. And I don't know if that's the way he feels. And like, again, it's only preseason, but some troubling things to start preseason, especially when you get those starting units out there. Justin Holiday, same thing. He hasn't made any progress as a player, I don't think. Looking at what he did last year, I think this is just a continuation of 2017-2018 Justin Holiday's. I'm going to go out there and shoot as many times as I can and hope some of those fall in. 37.1% from the field last year by Justin Holiday with over 10 attempts. That was one of the worst in the NBA. So, yeah, hopefully Denzel Valentine's okay. He comes back, is able to maybe play in one last preseason game or at least leading up to opening night. And if he is, I can't see why Justin Holiday would be in the starting lineup unless you want to keep the rhythm that he has with Bobby Portis and a few other those guys coming off the bench. Other than that, though, I think that's Denzel Valentine's job when he comes back because Justin Holiday has shown us absolutely nothing. A couple highlights, though, that David Head did bring up. How about that block on Giannis? You don't see that too often. I think that was like one of maybe three highlights of the entire game was the fact that Wendell Carter Jr. was able to go up and stuff Giannis at the rim. And like David had brought up too, I thought Wendell Carter Jr.'s defensive awareness last night and helping and being able to cover for guys that were out of place, out of position, and were going to get beat. I thought Wendell Carter Jr. looked great on that end and pretty much vowing for himself to basically say to Fred Hoiberg, hey, look, the starting role isn't too big for me right now as a rookie. I think I could go there and do that. He's doing everything he can to prove himself. He hit his first three last night too, by the way. But that block that they ended up calling a foul, which should not have been a foul, was a great point of emphasis. It's good to see the rookie out there. One of the bright spots of last night's game. On top of that too, I think minus the 1-for-7 from three, Bobby Portis had a pretty decent game too. You like to see him attack the boards a little bit better, be a little bit better on defense as well. But man, that guy's going to get up his shots. And he was 7-for-15 last night, 1-for-7 from 3. You take away those 3-point attempts, you're at 6-for-8 from the field. So maybe reduce the amount of threes that Bobby takes in a game to not to 7. But hey, if Zach LaVine and Jabari Parker aren't going to shoot threes, and none of these guys off the bench are going to shoot threes either, you need somebody to be at least a threat from that perimeter line. But like I said before, don't want to see Bobby Portis taking 7 threes per game. And he did tell us last month that that was a point of emphasis for his game this year coming in, is that he wanted to be able to be a consistent 3-point threat. Taking 7 a game doesn't necessarily make you a 3-point threat, so like to see those attempts come down and see some other guys that are capable of knocking down the 3. Chandler Hutchinson was 1-for-6 from the 3. He had a rough night, 1-for-9 overall. I thought he was put in positions where a lot of times the guy that was running the point, which mainly when Chandler Hutchinson was out there in the game, it was Cameron Payne. He missed him a few times cutting to the basket, and I think that is also a point of emphasis from this game too. The fact that you have your 2 point guards, Chris Dunn only getting you 2 assists in 20 minutes, and then Cameron Payne in 20 minutes only getting you 4 assists, like that can't happen either. That tells you that there was a problem with the facilitation. There was no passing. There was no cohesion on the offensive end. And if you go back and even watch the first 3 quarters of the game, you see it. It's a lot of me ball. And not just me, but there was a couple other reporters watching this game last night. And Bulls fans, if you were aware, you saw that. That's a case last night that we said could be worst case scenario for this team, is guys just come out and try to get their own. And that's, I felt like in a lot of the fashion last night, opposite of what they did on Sunday, was a lot of me ball. And if the Bulls want to have any type of success, and I think Fred Hoiberg knows this too, that's why he was pissed off last night, is the fact that these guys are coming down and running the shot clock only 5 to 8 seconds and putting up a shot without even passing, without even getting open. And on top of that, nobody's moving either. Go back and watch all of those sets where the Bulls are using all 24 seconds in their shot clock. Nobody's moving. Guys are trying to get to the basket and they're clogging lanes. The Bucks clogged the lane with 3 different guys and nobody's moving. Everybody's just standing at the perimeter waiting for a 3-point shot to take that they're obviously going to miss. Like when you're shooting under 25% in the first 2 preseason games, the way that the Bulls are, you got to find other avenues to score, and standing around the perimeter not moving does not help. We saw that last year with this Bulls team, and it's got to be a point that they fix immediately. Thanks again for the call, David, though. I think it's going to be a tale of 2 different types of Bulls teams this year, and without Markkanen, it's even more difficult to project how this team's going to look in the first 20 games. It might be a difficult watch. I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's more of a snapshot of what we saw on Sunday instead of against the Bucks. But like I said before, look at the Bulls' schedule in the first 20 games. You got a glimpse into a team that's relatively decent, that is going to be trying to knock off one of those teams to be a top 3 seed in the East this year. You go up against teams like that. 10 of the 20 teams the Bulls played in the first 20 games or were all playoff teams last year, they're going to struggle if they don't play as a team. And last night, you didn't really see the Bulls playing as a team. They were playing mostly for themselves, and it didn't work out. So if the Bulls want to have any success, they go back, they scrap this tape from last night, and they start over. And you go and look what you did on Sunday and how you were effective there. But teams that have a lot of length, that can stretch you out from the three, and have guys that can switch off and play multiple positions, the Bulls are going to have such a difficult time this year trying to stop those teams. And then you put that in combination with not being able to put the ball in the hole, you're going to have even more problems. So I don't know what to say other than that I was super disappointed by the Bulls' performance last night. It was disgusting. It was terrible. It was everything that gave me flashbacks to the rebuild last year when we were missing Portis and Mirotić and that stretch of 3-20 that we saw last year. Yeah, I'm getting flashbacks to that. And so hopefully, but yeah, just to wrap up, this is the tale of 2 types of Bulls teams that you're going to see this year, especially without Lauri Markkanen. So hopefully Denzel Valentine and Lauri Markkanen can get back sooner rather than later, because this Bulls team is going to need it. Let me know your thoughts, though. 331-979-1369. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up, text messages and voicemails there. We do mailbag every single Wednesday. But like I said before, if we get a good voicemail that we feel like is justified to play on the show, we will play it at any time. So make sure you're always dropping us voicemails, always giving your reaction. 331-979-1369. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malian, at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShibles. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Jordan Malley, thanks Bulls Nation for hanging out with me. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan Malley, I am out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.